Imagine if you could give that gift to know that you, for someone else to know that they fully belong to God, that He has claimed them, that they are twice bought by God. You know, the need to know that is as deep as any need. I was thinking last week about how someone, the worst things you could hear is say, nobody cares. Nobody cares about you. And how that leads to such spiritual poverty. And that's the ironic thing, is we as Christians live in this unnecessary defeat when we don't walk out. Sometimes it feels like upon the waters, another one of the images of the Spirit. But we don't, and we end up in defeat. Let me illustrate this with a story. During another crisis, 90 years ago, there was the Great Depression, but people also forget, like my wife's grandparents, they lived through what they call it, and that is the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. A man named Yates owned a sheep farm, a sheep ranch in West Texas during the Dust Bowl because he did not earn enough money to make his ranching operation pay. Mr. Yates was in danger of losing the entire thing. As his sheep were grazing on the hills, the rolling hills of West Texas, he no doubt worried about how he could make everything work together, make ends meet. And some surveyors approached Mr. Yates and asked permission to dig a wildcat well. He signed the lease and they drilled it, and at 1,100 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. And that first well gave 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells gave even more than that, some as much as twice that. The ranch was literally on top of a black gold mine. Mr. Yates owned it all. The day that he purchased the land, he received the oil and the mineral rights of his property. But he was a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem was he did not know that the oil was there. He owned it, but he did not possess it. And that is such a tragic but accurate example of so many Christian lives, so many of our lives. Everything we need, God's divine resources, we become heirs of God. Supernatural resources brought to bear in our lives, but that never find their way to the surface. Because we live in this self-imposed spiritual poverty. Now, just to explain, it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who makes that connection. The Holy Ghost is not a ghost just floating around with no purpose. The Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a substitute for God. It's definitely not passive. Every time the Spirit of God is mentioned, there is action, there is movement, there is going outside beyond your comfort zone. Some of us will never encounter the Holy Spirit because we will never go outside of our comfort zone for anything. We won't ever give generously enough that it makes an impact on how we live the rest of our lives. We will never serve in any kind of a way that God could break in and things could well up in our lives, because we won't get that close to the edges of our comfort zone, let alone outside our comfort zone. Maybe it's time for things to change. How do we grasp this power that we've already been given? I think by understanding and then by acting on it. Bob Kill put it this way to our Zoom men's group this past week when I said I was preaching and we're starting a new message series called Spirit Driven about the Holy Spirit. Bob said this. He said, I realize the Holy Spirit within me, not the Holy Spirit with me. It changed everything. There is no place in our lives that the Holy Spirit does not want to move. There is no season in our lives that the Holy Spirit does not want to make and to walk with us through. But it's not just with us. It's not just Jesus beside us. It's Jesus in us. You may be facing relationships that have completely disintegrated. The Holy Spirit is with you, waiting to well up. But He will not go where He is not invited. That's why I'm so amazed at the gift of the Holy Spirit and the potential that is here for us today. It changes everything. You know, we got to spend last weekend with our six kids now, in Virginia. It was awesome. Here's a picture of us listening to Pastor Denise as she was preaching and as Archie was leading worship. I now have a whole new understanding for people with young kids who are trying to watch the service. It's all I could do not to say, "Shut your mouths! I'm trying to listen," because there was so much energy in the room. It was so good. And you know what? I realized I love my kids. I love the adults that they've become. Like, who to thunk? I love spending time with them. I love hearing how they thought. They have so much going on. And I was thinking about their lives. I was thinking about their decisions. Three of them just graduated. One of them's looking for a job. Two are married. One has just moved to a new place. Hunter and Melissa are moving down to North Carolina to be closer to her folks. And all of this is happening, and I was thinking about how they choose to live. I was thinking about their jobs. I was thinking about their habits, their homes, their relationships. It is a new season of relationships now, from parenting to being their parent. And I was just thinking, God brought this to my mind. If I could give them one gift, if you could give your loved ones one gift, if you could give your kids one gift, whether they're little, what's the one thing more than anything for your spouse, their home, their job, their health? And there is one, because it makes all the difference for those areas and all the rest of our lives. And it is the same gift that I would want for you, and it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence. God's presence with you when you're going down that path again. God's presence with you just after you open your mouth and say the hurtful words. God's presence with you as you realize your need to keep silent. God's presence with you as you are wondering, what do I do? How do I get this loan? God's presence with you as you're trying to plan your summer like there's some kind of normal out there somewhere. God's presence with you. God's peace, God's love, God's joy, God's kindness, God's faithfulness, God's gentleness, God's self-control. And you know what? Those are all from Scripture. That is what I would want for my six kids more than any happiness, any success, more than anything else, even physical health. Because you know what? The mortality rate in the United States during this time of COVID is still 100%. I want God's presence with them every moment. And it's only ours through the Holy Spirit. Listen to how Paul prays for this, for the church that he loved, for the Christ followers in Ephesus. This is Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. It's a beautiful prayer, but I want to highlight this one section where Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." What a gift he's praying they receive. That God may give you his spirit of wisdom, revelation, so you'll know him better. I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Isn't that what you're looking for? Isn't that what all of us are looking for, this deep down purpose? Isn't that what you want for your kids, for your friends, for yourself even? That God would grant us his spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better? Imagine what that would be like. That God would open the eyes of their hearts, our hearts, that we might be enlightened to know the hope that he's calling you to. You have hope and you have a call on your life. Don't let anybody else claim those or take those away from you. You have a destination and you don't have to get all woke to invent one for yourself, because God's already got the supreme one for you. He's praying when the Spirit comes, not only would we have hope of our calling, But we would also have riches of his glorious inheritance. There are good gifts to be had that the world cannot know apart from the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so sad that churches have so long forgotten. That's why we go from 2D to 3D. Father, Son, yes, and Holy Spirit. And then the incomparably great power for us who believe, power to act, power to love, power to serve. Those are ours through the Holy Spirit. And I want to take a moment right now to thank Mary June Wilkinson. She was my friend Sarah's mom. I probably ate 2 to 3 lunches a day, every week at their house. They lived at the other end of the block. And we got to ride home, our bikes home, for lunch in elementary school. But not only was she my friend's mom, who had adopted me as one of her own, but she was also my third grade Sunday school teacher. And in third grade, she told probably the 10 or 12, 15 of us, I don't even know how many were there. But I can still picture her saying this. She said, "The Holy Spirit is like your conscience." Now, your conscience tells you right from wrong. The Holy Spirit tells you much more than that. Your conscience can be wrong, but the Holy Spirit you can trust 100% of the time. He is with you like your conscience, and he'll never leave you. Do you know what she did to me as a third grader? She armed me. She protected me. She opened me up to realizing God is with me, and though I can't see him or measure him, at least independent from my acts of love or kindness or whatever, I can know that he is with me because he's like my conscience. What a great way for a third grader to hear that. Would you have that conversation with any third grader that you can? He guides you. He loves you. He's with you every day. He's in every moment. Think of that. God is exactly what your 5-year-old needs. The Holy Spirit is exactly what your 7th grader needs, especially 7th grade. I don't know why God invented adolescence, but he did. The Holy Spirit, imagine walking the halls someday of your middle school knowing God is with you as you're walking down the halls. Whatever texts are flying around, dirty looks are happening, whatever is going on, walking through your life in 7th grade with the Holy Spirit, God with you, God's presence, and that you are not alone. It's something for you 21-year-olds and you 81-year-olds as well. Would you be willing to put your faith in that? And would you be willing to help others as well?
Well, as we started planning and talking about this series of the Holy Spirit, as the Old Testament would say, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon me. No, but God gave me a very strong impression that it would be a great time for us as a church to join in prayer together. And a lot of you have been doing that, but we wanted to do something, an additional prayer, because more doesn't hurt, right? So what we're going to do during this series is one day a week. This week we're going to start with Tuesday. And I have set up a 24-hour prayer sign-up. And it's through the 24/7 website, and it's very, very easy to use. You click on a box, and you put your name and your email in, and it sends you a reminder. But I sent out an email that'll go out at 11 o'clock today, which will have the links in it, so you can sign up for that. And it'll also have some prayer guides to go along with it. And the idea is just this. Can you imagine how powerful it would be if we as a church gathered together to pray for a day straight and then see where it goes and see if it turns into something more and just come with the willingness to the Spirit? Ooh, just got goosebumps. All right, and this is a new song that I've only sang here a couple times, but I think it's a great song for us for this time. And the Holy Spirit. So please try to sing along as best as you can. Remind me, Lord, lest I forget who you are and who you have been. Mighty God, perfect in peace, champion, you're all that I need, and I will wait for you, I will wait for you, Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength, Holy Spirit, come renew. Who can hold the wind in his hands? The shoreline's drawn to where he has planned. Jesus Christ, the name above all. Will hear my cry whenever I call. I will wait for you. I will wait for you. Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength. I will. For you, I will wait for you, Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength, Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength, and I will choose even in darkness, your truth lights a beautiful spark in this heart and soul. So be still and know that my fear's gone. Here in your presence, a new song rises to heaven. This heart will be still and know you are good. Whoa, you are good. Whoa, you are good to me. You are good to me. You are good. Whoa. Holy Spirit, come renew all of my strength.
If you aren't on our All Church email to get the link to the prayer chain, the 24/7 prayer vigil that we're starting up for the summer, go to our website and join that. Holy Spirit, I will wait for you. What does that even mean? Where do you start? I told at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, the very second verse, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic nothingness. But then above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty. What is God's Spirit? How does it apply to my life? I want to walk you through the story. A little briefer, Denise was teasing me, making her do the whole story, where she focused on Hosea and the story within the story, the redemption, the rescue story within the rescue story. But I want to trace the Holy Spirit's role. God's Spirit is the way that the Bible authors talk about God's personal presence. So if somebody asks you, who is the Holy Spirit? You can say, God's personal presence in my life and in our world. The Hebrew word is ruach. You can like clear your throat when you're saying it. Ruach, energy, breath, wind, ruach. The vitality you get from breathing deeply. What a difference a breath can make. Wind is powerful, and our breath keeps us alive. It's a perfect description. It's invisible. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not powerful. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. Brings us power and our breath that keeps us alive physically and spiritually. Throughout Scripture, throughout the story, the Spirit gives special empowerment to God's people. Like Joseph is empowered to understand and interpret dreams for Pharaoh. An artist named Bezalel is empowered to create beautiful things for the tabernacle when the Hebrew people are in the wilderness. And a group of people called the prophets are empowered to bring messages from God to the people of Israel to see what is happening from God's point of view. Jesus begins his ministry reading from the prophet Joel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the scroll of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captives. Those prophets are empowered to bring messages from God to the people of Israel to see what is happening from God's point of view. That's that upper story point of view. The prophets, though, were able to see a problem. While God's Spirit had created a good and perfect world, humans had given in to evil, to self-centeredness, and unleashed chaos into it through their sin and injustice. In a way, humanity had returned the earth to the dark, disordered state it was when the Spirit of God was first hovering over it. And the prophet said that the Spirit of God would come again, just like it had in Genesis, this time to transform the human heart and to empower people to truly love God and love people and serve the world for Jesus Christ. It is through the life of Jesus that God carries out the return of His Spirit. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there's this beautiful scene where he is being baptized in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes down on him from above in the form of a dove. And when the voice of the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit is who empowers Jesus to begin his ministry. Remember, Jesus gave up his divinity. He gave up the divine power. Remember when it says he emptied himself of all of that. It was by living the spiritual life, guided by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was able to do what he's able to do. We'll talk more about this later. But he begins his mission of healing of the human condition and starting the new creation. We see this happen when he goes out and he heals people and he forgives them of their sins. Now, Christ, who's empowered by the Spirit of God, goes throughout the world fixing the chaos, the disorder that our sin had brought into it. We read this in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of course, the religious leaders of the time see these actions as a threat, and they have Jesus killed. Still, though, God's Spirit is at work. When the disciples saw that Jesus had risen from the grave, they proclaimed that he glowed with the Spirit of God. And when Jesus appeared to his closest followers, John says he breathed into them the Holy Spirit, empowering them too to spread God's goodness throughout the world. Soon after that, God's Spirit comes over all of his followers. That's what we see happened on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. So they could now become a part of this new creation, and they could share the good news and live by the energy and the influence of God's Spirit. And 2,000 years later, today, through Christ and the power he has given his followers, God's Spirit continues to hover slowly healing the chaos, working towards the day when it is restored to its former glory through the hearts of God's people given over to the Spirit of God, pointing people to Jesus, empowering them so they can love God and love other people. And our hope is that the Spirit is going to finish this job until the final recreation and the new Jerusalem, and the story ends with a new humanity living in a world that is permeated with God's love and life-giving Spirit. Jesus gave His life for you. And that's who we want. Listen to this song.
Take the lead of every step I make, even if you tell my feet to wait. 'Cause where you are is where I wanna be. The depth of me is calling for the deep. And I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. Your heart, your ways, show me your face, your song, your voice, break through the noise. And I don't want it if you're not. Whisper to me secrets of your heart, 'cause I want to discover all you are. I'm leaning into heaven for a glimpse. I'll partner with your presence here again. And I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. Your heart, your ways, show me your face, your song, your voice, break through the noise. And I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. I don't want it if you're not in it. I just want you. Just want you. Want you. Want you.
Could you want the Holy Spirit more than anything this week? Could you want to enable the Holy Spirit to well up in you, into your poverty, knowing that the divine resources of God are brought to bear? Do you look for this as much as you look for your lost cell phone cord? Do you look to God more than that? Because Jesus gave His life for you, and the Holy Spirit gives Jesus' life to you. Let me say that again. Jesus gave His life for you, and the Holy Spirit gives Jesus' life to you. When your enthusiasm is gone, God's Spirit is not. When you don't know the next step to take, God's Spirit does. When you don't know how you're going to handle your situation, the Holy Spirit does. When you don't know how to begin the painful conversation that you need to have, God's Spirit empowers you. And God does. And I pray that you go the rest of this day, a whole day led by God's Spirit. And then tomorrow, trust that God will give you enough of His grace, enough of His Holy Spirit to see you through all of Monday, all of Tuesday, walking not just with you, but within you. There's a lot more to share. But He knows what you need, and He's with you through it all. It is my prayer that you would enable Him to fill you up. Let this final song be your prayer. As you go from this place, in the midst of your crazy moments, it is my prayer that you would remember that God is seeking to well up in you by your permission. Join 4-7 prayer sign up. Join us next week for our Pentecost Holy Spirit celebration. Get your red ready to go. We'll be wearing it. We'll decorate our cars with it. Whatever we're going to do with the Holy Spirit celebration. Remember the bottle drive. And in the midst of every moment, know that God's is with you, the best gift you and I could ever get. Amen.